Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Alive Church, Orange County. To find out more information about Alive Church, please visit alivechurchoc.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform by typing in Alive Church OC.
What a joy to be here. A lot of energy in this house. They used to say wise young believers are rare, but old zealous ones are just as rare. So, the eternal search for energy. All right. Yeah, all I just have to do is come here and sit, and I'm energized. What great worship you all have had. Yeah. Yeah, just incredible freedom and liberty and presence of God. Good to see Aaron up here. And yeah, man, just kicking it. And man, I just appreciate that. And good. Where's is Reagan, Ariella, Amina? All right, my fan club. They're shy, but they're worth waiting on. All right. Anyways, we love them, appreciate them very, very much. And it's great seeing Erica and Ethan, and good seeing all of you all here today. And this is a special time. And so we pushed the envelope. I think the Lord worked things out. We was able to, even up to the last day, wasn't sure if he was going to be able to make it out or not. But it worked out. And we're glad to be here. This is where we're supposed to be. And I will say this, that an ordination, quote, service is not just significant for those getting ordained, set apart to the work of the ministry. It's a special time for that house. It is a special time for that house and what God is doing apostolically in that particular ministry. And happy birthday. Man. Me and Derek is over the lost and found department concerning weight. He loses it, and I find what he loses. So, anyways, man, you looking good. I am telling you, you looking good. 10 years younger, man. Well done. Yeah, well done. And Pastor Susan, to look that fresh coming from that far. That is amazing, because I've done a bunch of those Singapore journeys, and I need therapy and medicine when I get home. So I'm not looking like that, all right? That's for sure. Pastor Troy Marshall preached for us this morning. Yeah. So just know Ohio is always a little bit ahead of you, so that service is already over. We're in the future. And they said Pastor Troy killed it, as he always does. They love Troy and Anwen, and one of the reasons I know he'd done good, because I got several emails with gift certificates from our members to U-Haul. In other words, it's time for you to move, and for us to move Troy over here to Ohio. That's anyways, that's a joke. That's a joke. Kinda. No, it is a joke. Troy's where he's supposed to be. We're supposed to be. And we're glad to have with me Ryan Hoffman, one of the young men of the church, an entrepreneurial on steroids. He's kind of, any little business he does turns to gold, it seems like. And he does well. Just an anointing to prosper. But not only that, he has been through a rehab himself and became a director of a faith-based Christian rehab, and now has built his own rehab in the state of Kentucky. Yeah. And they're killing it. They're killing it. It's being considered as one of the strongest, finest rehabs in the whole state. And so concerning the drug problem, we are, Kentucky is second in the nation only to California. Yeah, yeah. So you get up in those Appalachia Hills, yeah, man, they can hide stuff forever. And so, yeah, you got to have your shots before you go in to get them, amen. So anyways, We appreciate what I was doing. It is just so great to be here with you guys. One thing is for certain, if I lived in this part of California, I would be right here at this church, sitting under Pastor Derek and Susan Dunn. I would grow, I would be fed, I would be ministered to, and it would just be wonderful to be a part of it. But we are a part of the same family, tribe, and so we're glad to be able to be here. So this morning, everything is going to orient around the calling of God, calling, a mantle, gifts, anointings, those kind of things, ordination, what it is, and as it is significant to this local house. In the probably the last 5 or 6 years, I would say, I really have done more ordinations than the last 30, 35 years combined. Almost every month, several times a month, various places. It is one of the things prophetically that God is doing. He's just doing it. 1 Kings 20, the prophet came to King Ahab and said, you see this great enemy that's against you. They was overwhelmed, outnumbered, outgunned, everything. This battle, he said, the Lord's going to give you a great victory today. He said, how so? He said, by the young leaders of the provinces. And he said, who's going to set the battle in order? He said, you are. And when he put the leaders in place over the provinces, it brought national victory. And so that is one of the things that God is doing, is putting people in place. And calling is not decided, it is discovered. And then you make a decision on that discovery if you're going to embrace it and move forward in it. So it is a great time, a great time to be a part of the kingdom, great time to be a part of what God is doing. So let's turn to, I'm just going to give you a few foundational scriptures, share a little bit. I'm not going to go a long time. All right, if you believe that. No. No, seriously, I'm not. All right. Who will give me 20 minutes to minister? All right. 20, 40, 60. Okay, all right. So, anyways. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Over into the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Paul speaking to the church at Rome. We're not sure who started the church in Rome. The book of Romans is your most doctrinal book in the New Testament, for sure. But Rome was kind of like the America, I guess you would say. You had a saying, all roads lead to Rome. And so people was always going and, you know, coming and going. So it was a center of education, center of the arts, center of economics, center of religions. So it was important that Rome got gospel doctrine right. So that's why it's so strong there in the book of Romans. Because if they got it wrong, it would infect a lot of other territories. All right. So Paul, though he was a Roman citizen, had not yet been to Rome. But he wrote this letter in advance to his coming. But this is what he did. He did make it to Rome. Probably not the journey he thought he would get there on, but he did make it. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. He said, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that you may be what? Established. So spiritual gifts is not to shine up or glorify a personality or a person. But a gift is given. God anoints you with other people in mind to establish. Yeah, it is not for you. All right, that gift. There's a saving grace, there is a sanctifying grace, and a serving grace. a grace that God gives you within a gift for you to be able to minister to people. He gifts you with other people in mind to establish the body of Christ. So today a greater establishing is going to be taking place here. Let me give you this little kingdom sequence of apostolic alignment, all right? And everything runs like this, whether it's a government, it's a military, a sports team, a business, a ministry. It all runs this way and in this order, all right? Four things: authority, order, function, and blessing. Say with me, authority,
authority.
Order,
order,
function,
function.
Blessing.
Blessing.
In that sequence. If something is not going well, the first question that is asked, who or what is in charge? What is in authority? What is in authority? If it's a sports team and they have a losing year, well, they don't. If it's a football team that they don't fire the front line, who's the coach? Okay, who or what is in charge? And so, authority. What is governing things? What is moving things? And there's various different levels of authority in the kingdom. Number one, there's God's sovereign imperial authority. Romans 13, the powers that be are ordained of God. All right, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, higher authorities, scripture tells us. So you have God's sovereign imperial authority. He is large and in charge, completely and totally. All right, nobody's voting him in, nobody's voting him out. He don't have to take an opinion poll, all right? All right, then there is veracious truth. It is the plumb line which by God judges things. It's the plumb line by which we will be judged. It's the plumb line of society. Whether it's popular or unpopular, whatever mood the country's in, let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, it is that. And then there's the authority of conscience. Even before you get into the delegated authority, Romans 1, other places, your conscience is the awareness of right and wrong. In other words, before I was a believer, I did bad things, but there was some bad things I would not do because I considered it really bad. And so that awareness of right and wrong, even in remote places in the earth, tribes or untouched people that have no written language, they will have some form of justice system of right and wrong. And if you violate certain rules, then they implement whatever their form of justice may be. So the authority of conscience. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So the God shows things to you and manifests it in you. So the authority of conscience. Then you get into delegated authority, and that's very, that's multi-level. There's the authority of function. Like for instance, we have in our church, we've got a couple doctors. If we're having a service and somebody grabs their heart and like they're having a heart attack, well, I'm the authority of the house, but I am not the authority in that situation. So the doctor will step in and function in his authority because he knows more what to do than I do. And so I step back and I pray for him and he does his thing. So the authority of that functional authority, then the authority in custom. That's why in traveling in certain places, it's important to know what goes and what doesn't go. All right, because if you violate cultural authority and certain customs, you'll wonder why you closed out. Why nothing is working. And so I remember the first time years ago, I went to Cuba, and it's when Castro was in power. And I felt like I had a prophetic word for Castro. I really did believe. I still believe it today. I knew I wasn't going to get to share it. But I did feel like that I had one. So you couldn't go through the states at that time. So you had to go through Bahamas or Canada. I went in through Canada. And so anyways, I didn't realize that people did not speak his name. There's no pictures of him. No pictures of him. Nobody would speak his name. They would say, you know, uncle. I said, you mean Castro? And so I said, I feel like I got a word for, you know, President Fidel Castro. That was day one. On that day, I was taken by government to Havana in their office and say, why are you speaking his name? Does he have another name I don't know about? Because I'll make it right. So anyways, whatever the reason for that was, I never did find out, but nobody spoke his name. And so I said, man, I didn't come here to cause problems. Yeah, I didn't come here to cause problems. Just come here, and I didn't come here to promote capitalism or to dismantle socialism or demonize communism. I come here to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I am here. And so anyways, they had me fill out some papers. Well, maybe you can get to see him. I knew that I wasn't. Then I got back to my base that night. I said, what's up? I didn't get the memo. This is my first trip here. Lord, show me my lane that I can stay in. So anyways, so the authority of customs and all kinds of authority and family authority and all these different things that come into place. There is four governments. It's really taught in scripture: self-government, family government, church government, and civil government. All right, there's other types of things and contractual type of things, but those things are in place. So authority, who or what is in charge? Order is the proper arrangement of things. Authority establishes order, puts the right people with the right gifts in the right place. Amen? And then function is everybody working according to their giftedness and creative design. And it results in blessing. Authority, order, function, blessing. Ark of the Covenant. Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence, the government of God, the power, the glory, the everything. So it had been taken under Eli's time. King David comes along and he's wanting to get the ark back. So David was a man about the presence of God and worship and all of that. And so he said, okay, we're going to bring the ark back. All right. And so he had a new cart built. All right. Seemed like the nice thing to do. It's the ark. Let's make it nice. All right. So they're in 2 Samuel 6. They're in the journey. And we hit a rough spot in the road and it stumbles. And Uzzah puts his hand up to steady the ark and dies before the Lord. So David, okay, everybody stop. All right, so he was afraid, then he was mad, and then he was afraid again. He said, okay, how is the ark of God supposed to come to the camp of Israel? Well, then he went to authority. The Torah, the book of Leviticus. And in the book of Leviticus was specific instructions of how you're supposed to bring the ark back. It's not a new cart. It's not an old cart. It is the Levitical priesthood. Three on one side, three on the other side. Put poles, put it on the shoulders, and they are to bring it back. As a matter of fact, it was only supposed to go so far and then do sacrifices and worship and go so far again, sacrifices. So it was quite a journey of doing that. And so in 1 Chronicles 15, David said, the Lord broke out against us because we did not consult him concerning the proper order of how to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. So authority establishes what?
Order.
Order is what? The proper arrangement of things. So when you got the Levites, the Levitical tribe, the Levitical priesthood, you put them in their place, right? They functioned according to their gifting and their design and calling, and it resulted in what? Blessing. The Ark of the Covenant, the power and the presence and the glory of God came back to the camp of Israel. So we have to do God's thing, God's way.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? So in other words, basically the Dark Ages began in human history when, because it was popular to be a clergy, to be in ministry at that particular time. So you had people becoming professional clergy that wasn't even called. I mean, wasn't even saved. Yeah, most of them weren't even saved. And so that comes by calling, not by education. You need to get educated on your calling, but that comes by calling. That comes from the Lord. That is received. God gives it and we receive it. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
And so, and then that began a period of the Dark Ages. In that particular time, until that was broke, and revelation, justification by faith, the priesthood of believers, and the authority of the Word of God was reestablished back in over all other authorities. And so kingdom alignment is vitally important, that it is set in place. Authority, if something is not right. I remember once I was trying to impress a girlfriend and changing spark plugs. We had spark plugs in that time. I don't know if they still got them or not, but I sure don't understand the engines today. All right? I have to get somebody that does. And so you had the spark plug, you had the distributor, you had all these spark plug wires, and they had to go in a certain sequence. Well, I just kind of took the link of them and what looked like it matched. And so took the old ones out, didn't gap them, the new ones, and put the other ones in. And I started up, and it was like Star Wars. And so she was looking, you know. And I said, wait a second. So I looked back under, and finally I got humbled to go to the owner's manual. Who built the car? How are you supposed to change the spark plugs? So when I read that and I realized the way I was doing it was all wrong. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And so then I got it all lined up and redeemed myself and didn't talk about the first experience. And so authority, order, function, and blessing. Well, God begins to set people apart and ordain them. So what has happened here, a live church, I think about 13 years old. All right, God sent ordained people. All right, Pastor Derek and Susan Dunn here. And then God began to gather around them, gather a nucleus around them. Now, initially, it always begins that way. You gather around a gift, but if it stays that way, if you stay that way, you can grow faster sooner, but you don't live as long. So you have to make a shift to not just build around the gift, but build with the gift. And so they are builders. They're builders. And so they begin to build with the gift. and raise up, train, systems, all these discipleship and connect groups and all the different things that you do has brought you to such a time as this. And now God is beginning to put people in place. Amen? And different people are at different places in their journey. And just know this, position in a ministry doesn't come by seniority. It comes by faithfulness. It comes by character. It comes by capacity. Yeah, it's important to have good character, but you've got to have the horsepower under the hood. You've got to have the gift from God to be able to function in that. Otherwise, you set people up for failure. And so so many times people will sow in one place and reap in another. And the senior leaders know that. In other words, developing, growing, going through other seasons of their own life, the ups and downs, the victories, the defeats, the overcoming, and all the various training then brings together at a certain time. Ephesians 1:11 says, God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Two things God is always doing. One, he's working his will in your individual life. He's working it in your life. And then two, he has a global overall will that he's doing many things at the same time in individual people and just kind of like chess pieces or pieces of a puzzle. And at the appropriate time, God begins to bring the right pieces in the right place and putting them in their space. And then you begin to see a picture and it begins to work out. All right, so one of the dynamics that happens when that is starting to take place is three things that are consistent with it. With every ministry, with an apostolic grace, is this. There is storms, there is shaking, and there is shifting. Storms come to test you. All right? The Bible says, in, I think it's Proverbs 24, that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So it's not meant to condemn, but it is to just to show you where you're at. All right? So the goal is not to get you to fail or to shame you, but the goal is to get you, okay, this is where I'm at. And you begin to work on things. So storms come. They come and they begin to test us in our faith, all right? It's hard for me to trust a leader that where everything has went well in their life. Yeah. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Okay. has it been like a partial trial in the journey? don't tell me how great you are and what you've achieved and what you've got. What did you have to go through to get to that place? So it's not what they have, but what they've overcome and getting to a particular place. And so storms hit, storms come, and storms come for various different reasons. Sometimes God will send a storm, all right? He will send a storm. Sometimes the devil sends a storm, right? And sometimes people carry the gift of a storm. They just all they got to walk in the room and a spirit of confusion shows up and bring a storm in your life as soon as they walk in the room. And then sometimes you create your own storm through a lack of wisdom and holistic perspective. But regardless, the storms are meant to test us in our faith. The Bible said a righteous man falls seven times, but the Lord lifts him up every time. It's not that you're up. Can you keep getting back up after you've been knocked down? All right? You keep getting back up. Keep getting back up. That's the key. So storms test our faith. Shakings free us from things that are not supposed to be there. Because we're kind of like ships that collect barnacles on a ship. They just kind of stick to us and we get used to it. And then all of a sudden a shaking, a Hebrews 12 shaking comes. He will shake everything that could be what? Shaken. All right? And he begins to shake it. And so, and it's a little unsettling at first, but the shaking is meant to free you. During COVID, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to watch for four types of people in this particular time. Those that are leaving you, those that are coming towards you, those that have stayed, and those that are rising up. And then he said, those that leave, he said, reach out, but don't chase. Because our heart is pastors, we want redemption. Reach out, but don't chase. Look who's coming. Look who's rising up, and look who's stuck there with you in the difficult time. Yeah. All right? So in other words, shakings reveal things that are not supposed to be there. It frees you up. And it can be painful, but I encourage you in this life, hold the things of life loosely. Yeah. Embrace tightly the things that God gives. All right? Because if I have a bat and I'm holding it tight and you jerk it out of my hands, it's going to hurt. Well, sometimes you can be holding on to things and people and situations and all kinds of different things that shaking comes and it's gone. And what is God does most of what he does by the remnant. What is the remnant? What's left over after loss? Yes. The remnant. It wasn't Gideon's 30,000. It was his 300 that gave the victory. It wasn't Moses, Acts chapter 7, educated, eloquent in speaking, as a prince of Egypt, no doubt on his way to. We say this is the perfect time to come in and to be the deliverer. All right, but no, that it was naturally, but not spiritually. And so he tried to, it revealed in his heart how that God through him would deliver the children of Israel, try to accomplish in the flesh what could only be done by the Spirit. And it caused him to be put to the backside of the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years on the backside of the wilderness. In that time, he lost his eloquent speech. Matter of fact, he had to have Aaron talk for him. Yeah, so he stuttered, he stammered, he couldn't talk well. So he lost his position, his influence, all of those things. But it was in his last 40-year period, from 80 to 120, that God used him to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage, 400 years of Egyptian bondage. No army, no military, only a staff. Amen. So sometimes God has to first reduce your resources before he brings your victory. You may be slimmer, but you're more fit. All right? So those times come in our life that things begin to shake. All right? So storms reveal our faith. Shaking frees us, and then shifting advances us. It begins to advance you forward into the future. All right? And you don't have new beginnings without old endings. You have to let go before you can get. Give up before you can go up. You have to forget what's behind before you can reach forward to what's ahead. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
So we have all these things. They come, they go, they enter, they exit, all of these different things. And so God is working in a corporate body. Here's what I just say. Stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. Stay the course. Stay in the journey. Because it deepens your roots. It thickens your roots. It makes them stronger. And the deeper the roots, the higher and the long-term fruitfulness that you can have. And in that journey, God begins to give to us short-term and long-term burdens. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, it said,
the burden of the Lord that was revealed to the prophet Habakkuk. Let's go there. Let me just read that to you real quick. All right. Everybody say burden.
Burden.
All right. So the book of Habakkuk, just go to Malachi and go left. Just keep going. You don't have to go far. All right. The book of Habakkuk, verse 1. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear. Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Verse 4. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. So, a burden shows you what's wrong. A vision shows you what God wants it to be. You need both, a burden and a vision. So, a burden, it enables you to see man's plight. Feel God's heart. Feel God's grief over a situation, over a people, over a nation, over a person. You begin to feel God's grief. So a burden is number one, is given. Number two, it is seen. Number three, it is felt. You feel a burden. You feel it, and then a burden is carried, and eventually a burden begins to be conveyed. It begin to speak about it, begin to talk about it. So he showed him all of these different things. So in an apostolic church, you will find people that begins to have these, what I call short-term and long-term burdens. And Nehemiah was somebody that had a short-term burden. All right, so he is taking care of things in another kingdom. The walls is broken down. Its gates are burned with fire in Jerusalem. People come, he asks about it. And when they told him about the condition, he went into prayer and fasting and weeping. A burden was dropped in him. Now, in that particular time, you did not have a sad countenance before the king whom he was in the inner court serving. But the distress of it was so much, he couldn't hide it. And the king said, "Why is your face fallen? Why are you?" And the scripture said he prayed. Internally, he prayed. And he told the king about the situation. And it resulted in him getting a commissioning, him getting resourced, and getting letters of authority. Go and take care of this problem and come back. And so he went. A short-term burden is an assignment based. It is kind of a project. It is something that you're called to fix. And once it's fixed, that burden lifts. For instance, how does a burden come? One way is an investigative seeking for a need. I think Tommy Barnett says, find a hurt and heal it, and find a need and fill it. All right, so how many of those, there's a lot of needs out there. All right, so the investigative seeking, you don't have to look far, investigative seeking for a need. Two, the intentional sympathizing with that need. In other words, sympathy means to feel with. It may be a need, but it doesn't move you. It needs to be a need that moves you. It moves you. There's things that can move me. I can see on a documentary at night and make me cry, and the next day it never come to my mind. Well, that is not a burden God is giving me. All right? So a burden is you seek for a need and then try to meet that need. You sympathize it, you feel with it. And then three, there is an instinctive bonding to that need. In other words, you may get tired, but you get empowered and energized at the same time. When you are fulfilling and meeting that need, you are empowered and energized by God in it. For me, going and doing and helping pastors, wherever it may be in the world, I may be really super tired and this and that, but I can step into that setting for 1 hour and I'm resurrected. Because it energizes me. It energizes, and it's like this, it never leaves you. It may ebb at times, but it never leaves. And then the innate conviction that God will meet that need through your life. All right, but this was a short-term burden. All right, and then Queen Esther had her journey come. The enemy's trying to euthanize the people of God and to kill them, and raised up under Mordecai. It's kind of interesting. Just remember, you don't always maybe understand the steps of your life, but just know this. God is ordering your steps when you didn't realize he was ordering your steps. Yeah. Even in the very hard things at times, he's able to make all things work together. Romans 8. What for good? Didn't say all things were good. But he can redeem it and work it for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And so God begins to move. He begins to work through certain things. He begins to energize. Esther, there she was. I don't know what happened, but as a young lady, she didn't have father or mother. Somehow they died. Maybe they got killed. Maybe it was a disease. But she, a young 11, 12-year-old girl, has to be raised by an extended male family member. You think, oh, that's fun. All right, Mordecai. But Mordecai was a man of God that had national perspective. So he mentored, he trains Esther. They come, Queen Vashti messes up, breaks protocol. Now the king's looking for a new queen. So she's of age. Mordecai told her how to act. She wins the contest, she becomes the queen. And now she gets to be in the king's palace. And Mordecai is outside the king's palace. But the scripture says she still obeyed Mordecai as at other times. Don't forget who helped you get there. That you get promoted to a thing, you think you'd be on their help. No. Listen, the person helped you get there, God called to be there next to you. So here it comes, the enemy's going to, Haman comes in, he's going to kill all the Jews, going to do all of that. And so he sends a letter, Mordecai, to Esther. He can't even get to her. Sends a message and says, hey, this is going to happen. Listen, you're in position. You're in position. Go to the king. Well, he's not called for me for 30 days. And she remembers what happened to Vashti, breaking protocol. He said, I am telling you, they don't know you're a Jew. I know you're a Jew. I'm not going to tell on you, but I know. And how do you know, but if you've come to this kingdom for such a time as this? And she said, I'll go for it. He wasn't even there. I'll go for it. Prayer and fasting. So what it is, she had position to make a difference, but only Mordecai had perspective to help her in her position to see clearly how to make that difference. And she went before the king, and the whole thing turned around. The enemy imploded on himself, and the people of God were saved. So short-term burden. Yeah. Long-term burden would be like Moses, had a heart for the people of God for all of his life. Paul, long-term burden, his whole life, he had the burden and the care of the churches. So when a short-term burden is fulfilled, then it lifts. It lifts. A long-term burden stays with you your whole journey. There's different forms in which by you will function in it, all right? Everybody say, calling. So God calls. God calls people and he calls them past what they've become to what they are. Really. God calls people, separates people. Me, out of the group I ran with, I was the least likely to ever be a Christian, let alone do this. But there was a call to salvation, call to sanctification, then a call to service. And so, but that was a call, and I responded. I responded to that call. And so a calling comes from God and is received by you. You can say yes or no to it. These people here have said yes to the calling of God for the work of the ministry, set apart for it. That is because Pastor Derek and Pastor Susan, years gone by, said yes to the calling of God. If they wouldn't have said yes years ago before a live church was, a live church would not be. That's just the reality of it. Said yes a long time ago. So here we are. Here we are today. And to be able to fulfill and to be able to meet a need that God wants to bring. So calling, it comes. Calling comes. A gifting is your anointing comes upon them from your gift. Again, the gift is not for you. The gift is for other people to establish something in the people of God. A mantle always represents an office. It represents authority. A mantle was a large piece of cloth when Elijah came through the mantle on Elisha. It was always real big. All right, so there's a difference between gifting and anointing and mantle. Mantle is the boundaries of authority by which your gifting and anointing can work. So that mantle was always bigger than the person it was given to. Why? To give them opportunity to grow up into it and so that it fit well. So a mantle can come, but you have to grow up into it. And so that mantle that rests upon it, he anoints you with other people in mind, gives you spiritual authority with other people in mind. And I'm a local church guy from A to Z. Yeah, I'm a church guy. And listen, there ain't no movements, there ain't nothing Christian-based that will survive very long at all if the church is not in place. Because the church is the family of God. It is a family of families. It is a collected group together. No one church has it all, but every church is strong at something. And apostolic churches think quite a bit different. They do not judge things according to their seating capacity, but their sending ability. They have a mind to send and multiply and do those kinds of things. And so we have God's doing these kind of things. He's bringing people in. All these kind of things are happening. We all have a sphere. Everybody say sphere. 2 Corinthians 10, Paul said, I will not go beyond my sphere. All right, beyond my sphere. Your sphere, we have different spheres. A sphere is where, how do you know what is your sphere? What you're responsible for. That is your sphere. That is where you'll be judged. That is where you give an account for. That is where you have responsibility. That is where you have spiritual authority. That is where you can command. That is where you can build. That is where you can battle. That is where, but our spheres get difficult because they get challenged and it can say, but you are married to your sphere. All right? But then people go into influence, areas of influence. Sometimes God increases your sphere. In your sphere, you can command. In the areas of influence, you can only counsel. Suggest. All right? How many knows that God doesn't have any girlfriends? He only has brides. Just a thought. All right? So in other words, your local church, you fight for your local church, you believe in your local church, stand with your local church, journey with your local church, put the devil under your feet right from your local church, build, battle, bless, send, raise up, disciple, mentor, impart, and cause the enemy to depart. Your church is powerful. Your church is a supernatural nucleus of infused power from the Holy Spirit that comes together and explodes with power and does great exploits. Give the Lord a shout and a clap offering. Yeah. That is where you're discipled. That is where you're developed. God brings you into areas of influence. Sometimes that will expand and become an area of sphere. Then there's needs and wants and all of these other things. And I can meet the needs of some things, but not everything. I have to function in my sphere. And Paul said, I will not go beyond the limits of my sphere. And so I just want you to know, here at Live Church, you've got one of the greatest churches that exist on the West Coast. Oh, you absolutely do. Yeah, you absolutely do. I know there's churches that that have more numbers and smaller numbers and whatever the numbers. Listen, the language of numbers is a dry language. 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan said this. He said, the Lord can save by many or the Lord can save by few. Listen, just a little quick story and then we're going to get into the ordination part of it. In Ohio, we're in Columbus, and our state seal, Columbus is the capital of Ohio, with God, all things are possible. And it has like harvest things of wheat. Well, some judge in Cincinnati, it's always, can any good thing come out of Cincinnati? All right. Anyways, Cincinnati is always an issue for some reason. Some judge in Cincinnati and the ACLU got stirred up. So there it was, they're going to pull our seal out of our capital. And we got burdened by it. And Sheila and the intercessors, this is when we was in our first building. And she said, well, I think we just need to go pray. And so her and about 20 ladies went downtown in the middle of the week, middle of the day, and got down on their hands and knees on the seal and began to pray. Because we felt it was the enemy trying to pull the consciousness of God out of our state. And we weren't having it. And so she prayed and she said, all of a sudden, she said, I seen all these other feet with black shoes surrounding. And she looked up and it was the Highway State Patrol and Sheriff's Department. There's a bunch of them. And this guy said, lady, you're not allowed to protest here. We're not protesting, we're praying. So anyways, they got up and they began to ask questions. And one, the one guy, that was, he was kind of adversarial. And she said, well, me and my husband, we pastor a church on the east side of Columbus. And we want to preserve our seal. Well, quit doing this today. And so there was a black Highway State Patrolman that's kind of stood off to the side. And after the others left, he said, hey, lady, come here. So she looked him over and said, do you want to do this? She said, yeah. She said, follow me. So he took her into the Capitol and to the office that we could get a permit to do this in an authorized way for 4 hours of our choosing. We petitioned for our permit. We got it. They set it up. The chairs, the platform, the sound system. So we made a bunch of t-shirts, Awake Ohio. And so we went down there, and there was 4 news channels that came. So I had to talk to my scientist and said, listen, we're not going to sit there and demonize the whoever else. Let's just speak for what we're doing here. And so they began to interview, and I said, well, you know, our 56 founding forefathers, the majority of them was conservative Christians, you know, different brands of Christianity, but believers. And all the our constitutions, our state constitution, the national constitution, has Christianity full in it. And we believe that we're supposed to keep this. And then other churches started coming in that 4-hour period, and it started something, and they started a petition and took off like fire. And we got all the petitions that we needed to get signed and got other people involved, and it overturned what that judge did, and we still got our seal today. That was 20 years ago. We still got it today. And we was just a small little group. Yeah. So the Lord can save by many, or the Lord can save by few. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is doing something great right here in a live church. He is building, and whatsoever God does, nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. God does it so men will fear before him. Stand to your feet and let's give the Lord a great big shout and clap offering. Come on.